Okay.
All right.
And there we go. Okay.
Here we go.
Perfect.
Perfect. Okay. Well, we're recording. So.
Okay. Great. Hi. How are you?
I am fabulous. Sorry. I was just drinking wine at 4 PM, like one does.
Well, yeah.
You know, these are hard times. So we need to do what we can to survive.
It's quarantine time.
Exactly. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, so.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, I'm good. I finally got out of the house today.
Great. I'm so glad.
I know. It's a beautiful day. So it was like kind of the point where I just like, I told my mom, I was like, get in the car. We're going to go ride around. We took the dog and we went like all over God's creation. Like we went to Lakeview. We went uptown. We were in the Bywater. We were in the French Quarter. We literally went everywhere just trotting around because it's so pretty outside. And it's like,
I know it is.
I feel like it's a sick joke. Like,
I know.
No one can't do anything. Like, so
I know. I went, I was outside at one point, a walk or a run or something the other day. And I was like, this is beautiful weather. And it sucks because it's the perfect Jazz Fest weather.
Oh my God. I know. I can't even, you know. I can't even deal with it because Jazz Fest, I think I said this in the last one, like Jazz Fest is my favorite time ever. And even for somebody that doesn't like to be hot, which I don't know how I grew up in New Orleans, but I love Jazz Fest and it would have been so pretty. It's like at this point, I kind of hope it just like storms ass on that weekend just because it's like I don't want it to be nice because I think that would like hurt extra if it was like seriously pretty outside and like
I know
if it looked like today
weather, I know
yeah if it looked like today it would be the worst, like it would just be a gut punch.
It really would. Totally. I know. I agree.
It's so weird. And it's, I kept getting like mad. I'm like such an old person. Cause I like was shaking my fists at people. We went through through City Park and there are so many crowds of people. Like, and I guess like if you're in a group of people that are only like two or three of y'all, but if you go to a place that also has multiple groups of two or three or four or whatever, like whether you're a family or not, and whether you're like, you know, away from them, that's still, it's all just, no one's getting the point. And I'm just like, I do not want to be stuck here anymore. And I would appreciate if you just went home and like stop.
I know.
Just
I
stop.
Go on my runs early in the morning at 7. And most people that are out at 7 are also runners. And one of us usually will kind of get off the sidewalk. So we're not like, experienced runners are like very careful about not passing too close to people.
Totally.
But I still have seen so many people at the park in the morning. Like it's crazy. So
I know.
It's I just like, try to pick a route where there's not so many people.
Yeah. And it's like, and the whole time I was like, I get it. Like I 100% get it. It is gorgeous outside. And we went through all through the French Quarter too. And I took some pictures because it was just like so trippy and so weird because on a day like today, the French Quarter would be so packed. Like I wouldn't have even been able to, I would still be down there like trying to get out if I was like, if it was a normal day. And you know, it's just, it's so sad, but I'm like, this is how it's going to be. Like, I get it. It's so pretty outside. Everyone wants to be outside and going and you know all of that kind of stuff, but it's just like the people just chilling. I'm like, if I'm in my house for another 6 months because y'all can get your shit together, I'm gonna have a problem.
It's true.
I'm gonna lose it because I'm already 3.5 weeks is getting to me already, and I'm like, I don't know if I can do this for much longer.
I know. Well, the paper said that New Orleans is getting an A-, which is not so bad.
No, I mean, shit, we're usually not great at a lot of things. So
I know. Surrounding areas are not doing as well, but, you know.
I think, too, though, that just, like, goes to show, like, I was having a conversation with my mom, and I'm like, you know, I was like, are we going to be able to come back from this? And we were kind of just, like, talking about it and stuff. And you know, I think it's because we're such, like, a social people, but we're a social people that's used to, like, horribly as it sounds, used to devastation. And so it's like we're used to having to like rally. We do what we need to do and then we move on from it. And I think we're just kind of resilient like that. And I don't think the surround, like people outside of New Orleans or the greater New Orleans area really understand that mindset. And so I think it's like harder for people to like get on board with something. For us, it's like, okay, hurricanes happen. This happens. That happens. Like, okay, we do it. We get it done. We do what we need to do. And then we move on like from it. But not everybody has that idea.
Well, and I'm also thinking the more rural areas don't have, say, DoorDash or waiter or food delivery type things.
Right.
You know, they have to go out to get certain things. So, you know, we are fortunate in that we do have delivery services and we're so appreciative of the people that are doing those deliveries. So
definitely.
I don't know. But
I don't know. I'm just hoping our little piece of storytelling can get people through it. It gets me through it. I look forward to it every week. And you know, I like telling a story. I like hearing a story. So hopefully our three loyal listeners.
Your mom.
My mom, Katie. Our intern Katie.
Yes.
That's well, about it. That one person in Romania that popped up on
Yeah. There you go.
Shout out to whoever you are.
Yeah, thanks for listening. I would love to go to Romania.
That oh my God, amazing. That would be so cool. I feel like they have really good food. I don't know what they're, I have nothing to base that on, but I feel like they have really good food.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but
it could be beautiful too. But anyway, truly. I digress. So this week, I'm glad you said that. This week is a little bit different.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
I decided to do something a little bit different. I love this. But this one has cocktails.
Wait, hold on. This is definitely on me. I gotta do the do not disturb because it keeps cutting you off. Okay, start that whole thing over again. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's good. Okay, so it's a little bit different this week, but this has cocktails.
Love it.
Ghosts.
Love it.
Murder.
Oh, I mean, the trifecta.
Hallucination.
Oh, shit.
All the things.
Unexpected. So, that last one was unexpected.
We're going to be talking about the Green Fairy.
What is that?
Absinthe.
Ooh. Yes. Okay. All right.
So, because New Orleans has a very unique and closely tied connection with absinthe.
Right.
And absinthe drinking.
Totally.
So we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Awesome. Okay. I love this. I want to know how murder ties in with absinthe.
Well,
I mean, I could probably get creative and think.
Yeah. Okay. So some famous absinthe drinkers through history include Hemingway.
Love it.
The French poet Baudelaire.
Mm-hmm.
Edouard Manet. Van Gogh.
Okay. Oh, well.
Toulouse-Lautrec. Well, yeah.
A lot of these.
Look at a Van Gogh painting.
A lot of these make sense.
Yeah.
A lot of, you're like Hemingway, Van Gogh. I'm like, adds up. All of it. Mm-hmm. All of it adds up. Yep.
Absolutely. Picasso.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it was.
Picasso looks like he got, all of his paintings look like he got drunk on absinthe and then painted them.
So obviously very much in vogue with an artistic crowd, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar Wilde said, this is his quote, "After the first glass of absinthe, you see things as you wish they were. After the second, you see them as they are not. Finally, you see things as they really are, and that is the most horrible thing in the world."
Oh, shit. That got real.
So, I guess, it gets real with absinthe. So, I don't know.
I think I've had absinthe once, maybe. And it was not, I don't remember it being a pleasant experience, which is, I think, why I only had it once.
Right. So
it was a one and done kind of situation.
So when I lived in New York, our friend David went to Prague and bought a bottle of absinthe, which is, it was real absinthe that has the wormwood in it.
Ugh.
What you get now, obviously it doesn't have the wormwood and it's supposed to make a difference. I don't know if it does or not, but he brought it back and he and his wife and me and my husband at the time decided to enjoy the bottle of absinthe.
The whole bottle?
I don't know if we finished it. Oh, God. But it was fun. It was definitely interesting.
That was a trip. Literally and figuratively.
It was a fun night. Yeah. It was fun. I think we played cards. I can't remember what we did.
Is Prague where? Have you seen Euro Vacation, that movie? Or Euro Trip, no. Not Euro Vacation. I'm an idiot. Euro Trip. There's a whole thing where they're in a nightclub somewhere, and there's like rave music playing and stuff. And rave music. I sound 80 years old, but there's like what is that, EDM? Is that what it's called? No, yes. That techno music kind of thing playing. And then, but one of them like doesn't know. It's one of the guys from American Pie is in it, and then Michelle. Tranchenberg or some shit like that.
They
drink absinthe in the nightclub, and it's pretty hysterical. The guy from American Pie thinks he's like flying or something. It's pretty funny.
Well, this was the late 90s when we were enjoying this, so there you go. It's the same thing, so yeah. I don't know.
Did you fly during your experience?
No, we didn't. I think we just
opportunity missed, man.
Ate a bunch of snacks and played cards.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway. Okay. So absinthe, what is absinthe? It was created in France in the 1840s.
Okay.
It's extracted from wormwood, which is a, an herb.
Right.
And it tastes a lot like anise. And so like a lot of people say black jelly beans.
Mm.
So if you've never had it, if you've ever eaten a black jelly bean, and why would you ever want to do that? That's what it tastes like.
I don't know.
The main thing is that it's got a very high alcohol content.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually 110 to 144 proof.
Oh, God.
So it's very strong.
I feel like I just had like heartburn just thinking about that.
So it's usually clear, but it takes on a green hue because there's a lot of herbs that are added to it, including anise, licorice, veronica, fennel, lemon balm, angelica, and then the wormwood.
There's a lot of things that I don't know what those mean. So
very, very herbal.
Right.
So, yeah. The French name comes from the Greek absinthian.
Okay.
Which the Greeks use not as an intoxicant, but as a medicine. So people have been using wormwood leaves forever.
Right.
To treat all kinds of things. So apparently the Greeks used, they would soak wormwood leaves in wine or spirits and use that to help with childbirth. So pain relief from childbirth.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Hippocrates prescribed it for menstrual pain, jaundice, anemia, and rheumatism.
Okay. Well, I experienced three out of those four things.
Exactly.
So maybe this is what I should add to my regimen, apparently.
You need some wormwood tea.
About it. Here. I like the wine version better.
Yeah, exactly. let's see. Throughout the centuries, it remained a folk medicine. It says Galen, a physician during the second century, suggested it for stomach relaxation. And as a remedy for swooning.
Swooning?
I guess so, to wake you up.
Ah.
I don't know. It was also supposed to help get rid of a tapeworm, so that's gross.
God. Very different than the other ones.
Okay, so those are kind of like old medicinal ways wormwood was used. In the 1830s, French soldiers in Africa were given wormwood to help with fevers. It was really hot, and they would get sick.
Totally.
And so they thought, well, let's try this. They started spiking their wine with it.
Because
they wanted to add a little flavor to the wine, and it had, because it had been steeped in wine or spirits, they wanted to add, alcoholic kick to the wine that they were drinking.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Soldiers. Yeah.
I mean, you're also a soldier in the middle of Africa, and I'm sure you need something, any soldier anywhere would probably need some sort of boost.
Right. They were probably bored and they were like getting drunk and whatever. Totally. So, Yeah.
Which is how I ever had to be in the army. That's how I would want my experience.
1830s African soldier.
No one needs me to do anything important, so I'm just going to go get wasted in the corner.
They were hot and, yeah, exactly. Okay. So then they started bringing it back with them to France. And the upper middle class saw this as something that they really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the flavor. They really took to that licorice flavor.
Right.
And they quickly discovered that you cannot drink it straight. You have to mix it with water because it is very, very strong.
It will kill you. No,
yes. So then a French expat living in Switzerland by the name of Dr. Ordinaire. Dr. Ordinaire.
That sounds like when somebody's like making up a fake identity.
I know,
like,
right?
That's the name that they go with.
My name is McLovin, of course.
McLovin from Hawaii.
Oh, right, exactly. So he tried to figure out a way to create a concoction that would allow people to consume this wormwood infused beverage. So he invented what became known as absinthe, which was the herb wormwood and alcohol in the beverage all combined. So he started distilling that.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
What a smart cookie.
Yeah. The most well-known maker of absinthe was French distiller Henri Louis Pernod.
Everyone's name was Henri Louis. Like everyone. Henri that Louis? I think everyone's name was that in France in the 1800s.
Right. But that's Pernod, which we're familiar with here in
New
Orleans, because a lot of people use Pernod in a lot of oyster dishes use Pernod.
Right.
I don't know. So Pernod bought the recipe from Dr. Ordinaire and started the mass distillation and manufacture of that.
Very cool.
Yes. So it kind of took off in popularity amongst, as we said, upper middle class, artists, all that kind of stuff. Apparently there was a infestation of grapevines at one point, which killed a bunch of grapevines, so people couldn't drink wine.
Oh, shit.
And so I know, in France, that was, like, huge.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So they switched to drinking more absinthe when they couldn't get wine. So it kind of took off.
Interesting. So, oh God, yeah. I don't know what I would do without wine. I would go crazy. I'd be
especially in France too. Like, yeah, that's what they have with lunch and dinner.
At all moments, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think we all know that at some point it got a really bad reputation,
right?
So what caused that? Well, it's reported that it causes hallucinations, which you already talked about. Mm-hmm. Purportedly, it gets this hallucinogenic reputation from the chemical thujone, which occurs naturally in the wormwood.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, I don't know what the fuck that is.
Yes. Right. It's tangentially related to properties there in marijuana, but they're completely different.
Mm.
And it does not create a high like THC does.
Right. Okay.
But the chemical compound is similar.
Okay, so that makes sense.
For a while, people thought it might be related to that.
Ah.
Thujone can cause convulsions.
Oh, God.
And death in high concentrations. But Jesus. Everything that I read said that's not possible if you're just drinking absinthe. Like, you'd have to consume, like, massive quantities.
Right. Like, of the actual, like, wormwood stuff.
Just the thujone, right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
or whatever happens with the wormwood.
Right. Right. It says that if you were going to overdose on thujone, you would more likely have alcohol poisoning because you'd have to consume so much that it wouldn't be.
Right.
So, but people, here's what happened. And we're going to travel to Switzerland briefly.
I love it.
So this is what caused it to have such a bad reputation.
Okay.
In August 1905, mm-hmm. in a small village in Switzerland, Jean Lanfray went on a day-long bender.
Oh, shit. I mean, okay. Been there, but no. Just kidding. Yeah.
Sure. So he got up and he consumed 2 shots of absinthe and water to start his day.
Oh, buddy, you got a problem.
Yeah. Then went on his little way to work. He worked at a vineyard.
Oh, God. Casually wake up, drink a little bit, and then go to work. A
couple shooters went to work at the vineyard.
Oh, God.
He had 6 glasses of wine at lunch.
Oh, fuck.
Worked a little more and then had another glass of wine before leaving work.
Oh.
Then, on his way home, he stopped and got a coffee with brandy.
Oh, no, sir. Sir.
Right. And then when he got home, he drank 1 liter of wine with his dinner. Yes.
How is he still functioning? I would be on my ass. I'd been on my ass after the first 2 shooters.
Right.
I wouldn't have even gotten to the 6 glasses of wine.
Oh, my God. How could you get through that much wine at lunch and then go back to work and then
useless
work and then have an
I'm not saying I haven't had that much wine in like an outing, but like
at
I'm
work?
No, not at work, but I am useless after that. Like,
right,
I could gladly go to a happy hour, especially a little BWG, the wine garden kind of thing, and you know, sit there for a couple of hours, you have a couple of glasses, you know, you have a bunch of glasses of wine or whatever, but after, I am like the most useless person.
Oh no, you gotta go to bed.
Yeah, right. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna close my eyes right here, and then I'm like, wait, no, I'm still at wine garden, let me go home.
It's night time
100%.
He had his 2 shots of so if you think about his whole day, he's had 2 shots of absinthe in the morning, but then a whole shit ton of wine.
Yeah, that's like bottles. That's like a couple of bottles of wine in a day.
Yes, plus some brandy.
Oh,
so yeah. So after dinner,
that hurts. That like hurts me. That pains me.
Yeah, his wife is disgusted with him.
Obviously. I'm like, sir, you have a problem. There is an issue here.
Right. Curses at him, and they get into this big argument.
Uh-oh.
And then I think he says something like, you better shut up. And she's like, why don't you make me, kind of a thing.
Ugh.
So, famous last words. He picks up his rifle and shoots her.
Oh.
It would later be discovered that she was pregnant.
No.
He didn't know that at the time. Shit. But it doesn't matter, because then he walked into his 4-year-old and 2-year-old daughter's bedrooms and shoots both of them.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. This took a really bad turn.
Yes.
Oh.
So he shot his whole family, murdered his whole family.
Oh, yikes.
Apparently, he tried to then shoot himself, but you can't with a shotgun.
Not with a shotgun. I mean, Jesus. You'd have to, use your toe or something.
Also, very drunk, apparently, so that
I mean,
work.
Obvious, yeah, like, he, yeah, I'm, but I'm, how do you even, again, I don't know how I wouldn't have functioned enough to, like, be able to hold anything in my hand, much less a big-ass shotgun.
Yeah.
Good.
I think it was a rifle, I don't know what it was.
Whatever.
But anyway, I don't know about weapons, but anyway.
Ugh.
Comes to the next day, and it's like, what did I do?
You went nuts, you drunkard. That's what you did.
Right. So the crime is then discovered, and everyone agrees the absinthe made him do it.
Oh,
it wasn't the, like,
hell no.
Of everything else that he
Right. It's long. The absinthe. Yeah. No, you had 4 mm-hmm. bottles of wine in a very short period of time after you chugged 2 shots of absinthe.
Right. In the morning. Right.
Oh, my God.
So, like, he goes on trial and is convicted of that, but the whole testimony is that it has to do with absinthe. Already in the works globally was a temperance movement. This is 1905, but this is kind of like already kind of rumbling, and it's not just America, but it kind of starts in Europe.
Yeah.
And so that just made it worse. And they look at the absinthe and, like, well, this obviously is what set him off for the whole day's events. Like, it made him then go drink the 6 glasses of wine.
Well, I mean, it didn't fucking help, but, like, no.
Right. Right.
Oh, God.
So, it was then banned in Europe.
Uh-huh.
And then quickly banned in, talking about absinthe, banned in America It was banned in America from 1912 until 2007.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
And here's a quote from a poster in Europe. Absinthe makes you crazy and criminal provokes epilepsy and tuberculosis.
Oh, God.
It has killed thousands of French people. It makes a ferocious beast of a man, a martyr of women, and a degenerate of the infant. It disorganizes and ruins the family and menaces the future of the country.
Oh, that's some propaganda shit right there.
Yeah. So absinthe is evil, apparently.
Obviously.
It's not the people that are inappropriately consuming it.
And use it as an excuse.
Correct.
Right. No, it's not them at all. It's not at all. I don't know what you're talking about. It's not at all them.
Right. So they've done studies on Thujone and what that, you know, what it does to you. And apparently it is not Thujone, but probably what it was they had all these small distilleries making knockoff absinthe, and they would use colorings and additives to make it green.
Like look like it. Right.
Yeah. But those were toxic. Plus, you're basically, if you don't water it down and go through the whole ritual of with the sugar and all that kind of stuff, and flaming it and all this kind of stuff, you're drinking ethanol. You're drinking Everclear. So if you're just drinking
Everclear is the fucking worst.
Right. So if you're just drinking straight Everclear, of course you're going to lose your mind because you're drinking poison.
Yeah, I definitely did that once in high school and it wasn't great.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah. So it's not the Thujone, it's not the wormwood. It wasn't
actual absinthe. It was the knockoff shit that he probably had.
Correct. And he just drank a lot that day.
Well, also, I'm like, cuz I'm sitting here thinking, I'm trying to like process this, and I'm like, how did you even function after like say three bottles of wine by yourself? Like I would have died there. I don't even know what I would have done. All of the embarrassing text messages would have been sent, all of the like all the things,
right?
But I just also, I'm like, if you are still functioning after that,
right,
like you already drink a lot, like you are already
have a problem.
Like there's no way, like there's no way that a normal person, there's no way you or I, even though we drink normally, like occasionally and on, well, I say occasionally, now I drink every day because it's quarantine life, but you know, like you and I drink a normal amount socially, like everybody else. I mean, we live in New Orleans, so we drink to New Orleans standards, but like I could not have four bottles of wine, however much it was, depending on like, you know, the size and what he was drinking, but that many bottles of wine and still be able to even stand up.
No.
Like,
no.
I don't even think I would have been able to like
physically
hold myself up, much less do any other sort of activity. So I'm like, you are already, sir, like a full on drinker. And if you're going to wake up and the first thing you do is have two shots of absinthe, there's no way you don't do this almost every day. Like you have, if you are still functioning after that, there's no way you don't do this every day. So it's like, it could have been normal absinthe and like regular absinthe. And he just drank so much.
Oh yeah.
Well, but still, it's like, I also feel like you drank a whole lot. You're probably prone to violent outbursts and this was probably coming.
It probably was. Yeah.
Right.
They had, but also, okay. So it's connected with, quote unquote hallucinations. But I think that the connection is that the people that were drinking it at the time, who were artists and such, there's, you know, talk that a lot of those artists, like Van Gogh, who was not popular at the time, but was later became a sensation, he probably had some underlying psychiatric problems. So,
I mean, the man cut his ear off, so... Right. Yeah, so I would think
so. People like Toulouse-Lautrec and all these other people who are artists, Baudelaire had a lot of problems. They already had problems. They were already artistic types, quote unquote. And then drinking this very high alcohol content liquor.
they could have been mixing it with something else too, right. Like actual drugs.
Correct. Who knows if they were, you know, using heroin or whatever.
I was gonna say like heroin or whatever LSD was at the time. whatever that was called.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind. Kind of stuff.
It became linked with these very extravagant lifestyles, but it wasn't. There was no chemical compound making someone act that way. It just became popular amongst a certain group of people.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, artist type, if you're an artist type of person, you're going to share it with your other artist type of friends.
Right.
You know, probably all hang out. So
right.
It's going to become popular in that kind of group because, you know, everybody hangs out with everybody.
Right, right. Exactly. So it became popular, you know, it was outlawed in America, at least from 1912 to 2007.
I can't believe it was outlawed for that long.
Yeah. It was made legal in Europe before that. I don't have the actual date for that. But I know in the 80s and 90s, it was secretly made a resurgence. And that's what we were drinking from Prague.
Right. Right.
And then one man in America lobbied to have it legalized, and so it was made legal in 2007, but you can't have Thujone. So there's no, if you buy absinthe in the U.S. right now, it does not have wormwood in it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. Because, well, I guess that makes sense too, because 2007 I would have been like just really starting my drinking. Say that, like, you know, my alcoholism. No, I was, you know, I was in high school. I mean, that's usually when, New Orleans people start, actually, probably before that. I mean, my first beer, I was like seven. So that makes sense that I probably would have had it because in high school, because I'm sure if it got popular, it came back in 2007, then I would have had something like that.
Right.
You know,
But
not the real.
It's not the real thing.
Right.
Whatever that means. You know. It's chill. It's fine. So how do you drink it? It's for those who haven't had it, in New Orleans, if you come to New Orleans and you'll see them, Kelly, you're familiar with these big, like elaborate, they're like big jars with a spigot on it and they sit
huge.
On a,
yeah.
Yeah. And what that's full of absinthe, and then they slowly pour that over. You got your glass, and then a slotted spoon that sits across the opening of the glass with a sugar cube, and it kind of just drips through the sugar cube into the glass, and then they pour cold water on that. So it looks a certain way, and then like it's a little bit green, and then they add water, and it becomes cloudy.
Right.
And that's what you drink.
Right.
So, but it takes a long time. It slowly drips over the sugar cube. So it's this whole kind of, and I think that's part of the allure of it too, is that it's like, you know,
it's a process. Yeah.
It's a ceremony and it's like romantic and all this kind of stuff. So
I wonder, I don't know. I've seen it and I've seen it happen, but I can't remember where I've seen, like what places I've seen that at.
Well, we'll get into that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Excuse me. I'm getting ahead of myself.
So absinthe obviously becomes very popular in New Orleans because New Orleans is basically the Paris of the United States.
So yeah, right. 100%.
Whatever trends are happening in Paris quickly come to New Orleans because it is influenced so heavily by French tradition.
Truly.
You know, we're talking about, you know, a time when people in New Orleans New Orleans has always had a love affair with artists and writers and stuff like that. So,
oh, we're a bunch of freaking weirdos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. I'm going to do a small rant here, but that's why I hate when the whole keep Austin weird thing. And I'm like, No. I'm like, you don't even know weird. You don't know weird until you come to New Orleans.
Right.
And like really experience New Orleans, like not the like tourist trap of New Orleans, like not all of like that kind of stuff. Like you really get into the nitty gritty of New Orleans. Like Austin can fuck off with that because it's like
some bold words.
I can't help it. I have been to Austin, and when I tell you, they're like, I think it's like 4th Street or some shit like that is their like quote unquote bourbon, but people actually go there. Like people that live there go there. Right. And I'm like, no, if you go to bourbon, like we all look at you and judge you. Like if you were an actual New Orleanian kind of thing, unless you work down there, like then we'll give you that. You have that pass. But like, I hate that because I'm like, y'all don't even know weird. Like, you don't even know. I went to Austin. I never saw one person in a costume. I never saw one person with a wig on. I never saw one person with like glitter makeup or anything like that. And I went in the middle. I went in June, I think. I went like in the summer. Like it was over the summer. Now, you walked, not now because it's a desert town, but like if you walk down in the French Quarter, you see thousands of people selling their art, a bunch of people on the street singing, playing music, doing all that kind of stuff. Not only do you have people in costume, but you have the people that pretend to be statues all around who are in full makeup. And then you see them walking around like smoking a cigarette later. And like all of that, it's just, it's such on a different level. And it's like, yeah, I grew up here and I lived here my whole life. And like all of that, I did live in Atlanta for a hot second. That fucking sucked and has zero culture or anything. That has nothing. That is just, that is a wasteland and no one should ever go there. But sorry to anyone that lives in Atlanta. But Austin was cool. Austin was everything. But it should be keep New Orleans weird. We don't even need to be told that. We don't even need to be told that.
You don't need to. Yeah, it's always going to be weird.
We will forever be weird. Okay, that was my slight tangent. Sorry. No. It's just something that truly bothers me.
Oh, yeah.
I have lots of feelings about it.
Yes, obviously. Which is good. And because we all feel that way about New Orleans. It's special.
I mean, it's so, I have never met anyone that has come to New Orleans for the first time and wasn't completely in love with it. Like, I've never met someone ever, like, in anyone that I know, and I've met a lot of people through conferences, through my sorority life in college, like, through all of these things, I've met people from all around the country, and never once have I ever been told somebody that has come to New Orleans been like, eh, yeah, it was all right, or I didn't like it, or whatever. I've never heard that before in my life.
Yeah.
And so it's like, no, we're the weirdos. We, like, Dr. Avegno says on the news all the time, we invented masking. We didn't invent masking, but, like, we have perfected it. And so it's, like, everyone wearing a mask now. That's nobody, you know, nobody cares because it's not the weirdest thing you've ever seen on the street.
No, there's always.
Or in the grocery store.
Correct. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. That is my tangent. God bless you all.
Okay, so Kelly's making a strong stance here.
Strong stance. Strong.
But we feel it. Okay, so it is the Paris of the United States, pretty much.
Right.
So
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So local artists, writers, a lot of madams really liked absinthe. It became very popular.
Yes, queens.
High power madams.
So I bet our fancy prostitute from last week enjoyed
it.
I bet she enjoyed some absinthe.
100%. She was all into that. So towards the end of the 19th century, that's when it started to get really like buzzing all around New Orleans. Bars and meeting rooms specializing in absinthe were created, such as the Absinthe Room on Bourbon Street.
Right. Right.
On Decatur. So Toujac became very well known for having special absinthe cocktails.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
Yes.
100%. Like, yes, adds up.
Yeah. So a lot of bars or circles would create their own absinthe cocktail that was signature to their establishment. Or some of them would just have the plain absinthe that was dripped from the big urn that we just talked about.
Right.
Two of the cocktails survive to this day and are known internationally. And they were created in New Orleans. One is the Absinthe Frappe. And that was originated at the Alex Coffee House, which would later be called the Absinthe Room, now known as the Old Absinthe House.
So okay.
We're going to talk about that some more in a minute. But
okay.
Those, what goes into an absinthe frappe is absinthe, simple syrup, Anisette and soda water. And I think the way that it's created with the soda water makes it like really bubbly and
okay, frothy. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's the Sazerac, which we all know the Sazerac.
Right.
The Sazerac was born at Antoine Amédée Peychaud's pharmacy on Royal Street. The drink and its primary source were named for the brand of cognac that flavored the drink, Sazerac de Forge et Fils. That ingredient was then switched to rye whiskey in 1870 because people weren't caring for cognac anymore. They wanted rye whiskey.
Right.
The absinthe is added as a dash, or what they would do is they would rinse the glass. So you pour it in and you roll the glass around.
Oh, okay.
Absinthe, and then you make the Sazerac. And so that's how it became kind of integral to that. I don't think that that's how they do it now.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But, you know, we can go try one soon and see.
We could definitely go try one.
Right.
So our boss is a Sazerac connoisseur.
He really is. Definitely. So in later days when absinthe was outlawed, they changed that to Herb Saint, which we'll also talk about later, which is another New Orleans creation.
Right.
So that's the Sazerac. People love the Sazerac. So let's talk about the
oil. Everyone loves the Sazerac.
Well, some
people. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people. Yes. A lot of people love a Sazerac.
Yes.
I sip it very slowly.
Very slowly.
My insides burn.
It is very strong. Yeah. It's a sipper, for sure.
It makes my insides say, ow, what's happening? Yeah. Why are we doing this?
It's a lot. Yeah. So, let's talk about the old absinthe house.
Right. Okay.
Is Jean Lafitte's old absinthe house. The building itself was originally built in 1806.
Mm-hmm.
It was originally an import business. So it was like people coming in, trading and buying tobacco, food, alcohol, that kind of thing.
Right.
In 1815, it then became a coffee house and a saloon. And I think when they talk about coffee house, we're not talking Starbucks. We're talking like... Yeah, it's like that guy went home from work and had stopped at a coffee house and had coffee with brandy. Like,
right? It's like a right.
You know, it's not like you know.
PJ's was not around at this.
Correct.
Time,
yeah. You know, it was more heavy on the saloon, less on the coffee. You know,
right?
So in 1815, it switched over from being like the import business to Alex Coffee House.
Okay.
There was a bartender that was in charge there, and he created the absinthe frap, which we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And because so many people loved that particular drink, they would come in just for that. They renamed Alex Coffee House to the Absinthe House.
Ah.
Because that's all they would order.
Right. That's all. You're right. That makes sense.
So famous patrons of the Absinthe House throughout history include Mark Twain, Walt Whitman.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Love it.
And Aleister Crowley, who is the famous British occultist.
Yeah.
So he wrote the essay entitled Absinthe, the Green Goddess, which he wrote it at the old Absinthe House in New Orleans.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And here's a quote from that essay. He says, "What is there in absinthe that makes it a separate cult? Even in ruin and degradation, it remains a thing apart. Its victims wear a ghastly aura all their own, and in their peculiar hell yet gloat with a sinister perversion of pride that they are not as other men. Art is the soul of life, and the old absinthe house is the heart and soul of the old quarter of New Orleans." So he obviously, he fell in love with New Orleans and the old absinthe house.
I know.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, it was a little weird, but it was still beautiful.
Yeah. He's a weirdo, but
yeah. You know. It's a little weird, but beautifully written.
Yes. So after the alcohol was banned, they were like, what are we going to do now? Mm-hmm. But it had such a fervent following that people still continued to go there. They were selling absinthe concoctions and drinks and probably in a little bottle under the table.
Right.
But I think that from what we, you and I learned going to the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, mm-hmm. everybody in New Orleans was drinking anyway. It was like,
oh, I mean,
it wasn't really a secret, right. You know?
Right.
I don't think speakeasies were huge here because you didn't need to do have a speakeasy.
You didn't need, no. There was nobody that was telling you not to drink in New Orleans.
Right. It was kind of like.
There was not, okay. Right. There was not a single.
Right.
Right. Everyone was drinking. Right. Literally everyone.
Right. Exactly. So, but there was a small contingent of lawmakers who wanted to set an example.
Ugh.
And the old Absinthe House was so tightly tied to absinthe that they had it on in their crosshairs. So a small group of people who love the Absinthe House got together in the middle of the night and took apart the original bar and a lot of absinthe stuff and took them away and hid them. Yeah.
Whoa.
So in the middle of the night, they didn't want them to be, because what they were doing, the prohibition, people were coming and smashing things. So, like, if you see, like, pictures of them, like, smashing bottles and smashing stills and smashing things. They didn't want it to be destroyed. So they, in the middle of the night, took the original bar and a lot of the accoutrements and hid them away.
I love that.
Yeah. So I believe there's a new bar called Belle Epoque, which is, I believe it's connected to the old Absinthe House through a false door.
Okay.
It just opened, and I haven't been yet. I don't know if you've been.
No, I haven't heard of it.
Yeah. It's got a speakeasy style.
Have I heard of it? I don't think I've heard of it.
Yeah. So we have, we'll make a little field trip.
Yeah. We'll make a trip there. Done.
But there's like a speakeasy style door that I think you can access it through the old Absinthe House. And I think they were able to acquire the original bar.
Ooh, yeah. That's awesome.
And so Belle Epoque, their whole thing is absinthe, and they have a lot of absinthe,
love that.
Memorabilia. And the urns, and they have several cocktails there.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. But back at the old Absinthe House, patrons have reported to seeing a lot of ghosts.
Okay.
So.
Now, in the old Absinthe House?
Yes, okay. Today. So.
Because it's still, the old Absinthe House, this house is still open, right?
Yeah, we go there, my Mardi Gras group, that's one of our
spots, yeah, that's
on our tour.
That's okay. Yeah, yeah. Because I'm like, wait, yeah. I feel like I don't think I'm making this up.
No,
like,
it's there. It's yeah, okay. It's always busy, and it's awesome. I love it.
Right.
But people that go there have reported to see ghosts. Mm-hmm. One of them is Jean Lafitte, who apparently he used that to meet with people he would make deals with upstairs.
Okay. Okay.
So Jean Lafitte is reportedly seen on the second floor, moving around.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. There are also a lot of unknown, like people moving glasses, doors opening and closing by themselves, and just like an overall atmosphere of like, what was that? That kind of thing.
Yeah. That sounds like residual, like haunting kind of things. Like it's what was happening. Like it just took a piece of time,
right?
And so that's why you hear the glasses and stuff, because it was like what was happening,
right,
you know, over 100 years ago kind of thing,
right? And apparently like the people will find chairs oriented in a circle, like people like were pulling chairs together to have a drink together.
Oh wow.
But no one did that, they just did it themselves, like the chairs or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
so things like that.
That's so cool.
Yeah, well, when you have a bar that's that old.
Oh my God, I know.
You know.
Well, that's what I'm saying too. It's like you have to, like there's probably like the Jean Lafitte one's probably not residual if people really see that.
Right.
But like the other stuff, I'm like, there, all of the, well, one, the French Quarter is so much energy around it that it's like everything is quote unquote haunted because stuff just, so many things have happened in that city that it's just like, or that part of the city that it's just like, there, like it's always going to be there, and it's always like bustling, and always, you know, something's always like happening and buzzing and like all that kind of stuff. But so it's like it's probably forever going to have, you're probably forever going to hear glasses clinking and chairs moving and stuff like that, because people were there all the time.
Yeah.
And it was a hot spot and like, you know, a thing that people did.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I love that too.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, if you've never been to the old Absinthe House, you got to go. It's wonderful, and it's decay, and just, I love it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just.
No, awesome. It's like, the word decay, I feel like, is not, it, like, it describes it, but it sounds bad.
No, but
it's like,
not,
it's not, yeah, it's not bad. It's like, you're inside history. Yes. Like, you're literally living in history, yeah, kind of thing.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So it's one of my favorite places. So we talked about Herb Saint. So, mm-hmm, obviously absinthe was illegal.
Right.
In 1934, two New Orleanians, J. Marion Legendre and
Legendre.
I don't know if I'm saying that right. Legendre.
Lejeune is probably, yeah.
And
yeah,
Reginald Parker created their own version of absinthe, but without the wormwood, which would later be known as Herb Saint. It was originally called Lejeune Absinthe, but almost immediately the authorities were like, that says absinthe, so we can't do that. He's like,
yeah, we can't do that.
Yeah, and so he was like, okay, we'll call it Lejeune Herb Saint, which translates as holy herb.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but among Louisiana's French speaking population, herb saint was also the word for wormwood. So.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah.
So he kind of like pulled a double.
I see what you did there, man.
Yeah. And then on the label, it had an image of the old absinthe house. And so, like, he was kind of like not hiding what he was doing, pretty much.
No, yeah, it was very obvious.
Yeah, so
that's amazing.
Yeah, so when you get Herb Saint, that is, you know, that's our New Orleans version of absinthe.
Of absinthe, right, right.
And I think that is now produced by the Sazerac Company.
The Sazerac Company, yeah.
And so, yeah. Yeah.
And then isn't there a restaurant called Herb Saint?
Yes, there is a restaurant, and that is in the CBD. So
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is wonderful.
I don't think I've never been there.
Yeah, it's great. Okay. So places you can find absinthe now, obviously the old absinthe house and Bella Pop, right, which we talked about.
Right.
The list is endless, actually, because people don't really advertise it, but a lot of old New Orleans places have an absinthe cocktails, so like Commander's Palace and Arno's, right, French 75, Pirate's Alley Cafe, all these kind of older places. If you look for it, they're gonna have an absinthe.
They're gonna have something, right?
Either it's a Sazerac or absinthe frappe. I know we used to go to Dante's Kitchen. It is not open any longer, unfortunately, but they would bring out the urn table side and do a whole presentation.
Oh, that's so cool!
Yeah, so that was really cool.
Yeah.
So if you are in and around New Orleans after bars can open again.
After we go back to normal.
Yes. You can probably find an absinthe cocktail wherever you go.
Oh,
just
right.
So closely tied to the city.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's not, I don't even, right. Like, I don't drink it, but it's, you know, I knew that. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you're not drinking it straight, you can get a cocktail that has some of the absinthe in it. And as I kind of just briefly mentioned, the Southern Food and Beverage Museum has a whole collection of absinthe spoons and urns and things like that. So you can see all that there as well.
Yeah. The SOFAB is really cool for all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. Their whole like cocktail wall is really cool.
Yeah. And so that is the story of absinthe.
I loved it. It had everything.
Yeah.
A little something for everyone.
Murder, ghosts.
Murder, ghosts. And not just a ghost, like Jean Lafitte. Yeah. That's like the ultimate ghost.
Absolutely.
You know, that was awesome. Yeah. I didn't know half of that stuff. I definitely didn't know about the murder thing.
Yeah.
And like why. I definitely didn't know that it was illegal until 2007. Yeah. I guess I just, like, thought it happened. Like, it just was, I don't know, like, it never went anywhere. Like, I never really thought about it. But that's crazy. Yeah.
So, there you go.
That's so awesome. We are going to need to go to the old absinthe house and hang out and go through the fake door and go to the speakeasy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That'd be so much fun.
For sure.
Ugh. Yeah. When brighter days are back again.
When we get to leave our houses again.
When we're allowed to be social again.
We will go do that.
Oh my gosh. I am not like normally a very social being, but like I am gonna do something at all moments in time
Yeah.
when we are allowed to when we're allowed to. I'm just gonna move into Bayou Wine Garden and just live there for the rest of my
Yeah, for
life.
sure. Yeah. Yeah, we definitely would need to have all kinds of events.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like we're gonna have so much to
Yeah.
do. We're gonna have to ask people like now that I wonder. So like everyone, you know, jokes about how like their dogs or their cats are like, why are you still here, human? Like go leave me. Like I'm usually by myself and can sleep and all that. I wonder if like more people are gonna have ghost stories
Oh,
because
yeah.
the ghosts don't, you know, it could be like the same idea. Like the ghost is not used to living humans being around all the
Yeah,
time.
that's a
So
good point. Yeah.
I wonder if people will have more ghost
Yeah, write in and let
stories.
us know.
If you do, yeah, if you do, let us know.
Yeah.
BigEasySpirits@gmail.com. We want to know. We want to
Yeah.
know. Are the spirits ramping up at your house? Are they
Are they
more,
irritated with
are they
you?
angry that
Yeah.
you're still
Exactly.
there? Have they told you to get out?
Right.
Have they
Right.
Because I could imagine, you know, just like a pet, a ghost is not used to a person being around all the time.
Yeah,
So
totally.
maybe there are more hauntings
Yeah,
happening.
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we should reach out to like a one of the ghost hunter group people and see if they get if they've had more like more inquiries
More
lately.
activity. Yeah,
Yeah.
for sure.
That's so
Yeah.
funny. I didn't even think about that until just now. I'm like, I wonder if they're more if spirit is pissed, just as pissed as the animals
Yeah,
are.
like get out of here.
Right. Because too, I bet they're used to like the animals. The animals are there all the time. But now, especially in the French
Oh,
Quarter,
yeah.
because everything's like so hustle and bustle and everyone's got work and they leave and they go, you know, like in and out and stuff. So it's like much different. But now, I mean, shit, if I was a spirit and I was still stuck here, I'd be like, get the fuck out.
Right.
Leave me. This is my house.
Trying to rest in peace.
I know. I'm trying to live in your house in
Right.
peace. Like, well, actually, you're in my house. So
True. There you go. That's right. Yeah.
that's so
Yeah.
funny. Yeah. One day we'll get out of
One
here.
day.
We can go doodle
Yeah.
around.
Well, it'll be fine. We can do
It'll be, we're
it.
good. The entire, I feel like though, if they let us out before fall, the entire fall, like from August until this time next year, is going to be so
My
jam-packed
gosh. Yeah.
with so many
I know.
things.
Essence
Everyone, like, I feel
Moves.
like everyone's going to have an
We
event.
got Essence Fest, Jazz Fest, French Quarter
Is
Fest.
Essence still
It
happening?
moved to, they said, late, closer to the fall.
Okay. And I don't think they've given a date for Jazz Fest yet.
No. And Voodoo.
I mean, are they really gonna do it?
I know.
I don't
I don't
know.
know. We'll see.
I don't know. We'll see. Well, at least we'll have French Quarter
Yeah, it'll be
Fest.
fun. We'll have a lot.
That'll be
We have things
fun.
to look forward
And
to.
it'll be nice. It'll be like nice outside. Not like, I mean, it'll still probably be hot, but at least it'll be in October
Yeah.
and it won't be like blazing.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
so it'll
We have
be.
things to look forward to.
I would be interested to see how Jazz Fest would do
Yeah.
in the fall.
Yeah.
I wonder if like how different that would be.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know me, I don't like to be hot, so anything that can move to
No, I don't
the
like to be hot either.
anything. Jazz Fest is literally the only time where I am okay sweating and being that
Yeah.
close to people.
Well, I mean, we're not gonna.
'Cause like if I'm hot and anyone's near me, I'm like, get the
Yeah.
fuck away from me. Like you are too close, I am sweating, you are sweating. You stink. I don't know if I stink, but like, let's
Yeah.
move away. Get away from me.
I don't know. We'll
But
see.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't know. The world's a changing, man.
It
The
is, but
world
we'll
is a
still be here
changing.
with spirits.
We will still
Yeah.
be here with spirits
So.
and spirits.
So
You
send
can
us
count
your.
on us. We're doing it. I know. Send us. We're doing it remotely, so it's
Yeah.
possible. Ashley and I are not together, unfortunately. I usually
Yeah.
like to annoy her, coming all up in her house, putting all my shit
Yeah.
everywhere, and just hanging out.
Yeah.
And we're doing it remotely. I don't like it. Yeah, but I'm glad we can. I'm glad we have this technology.
Yeah.
At least we can still virtually be together.
Right.
From far away.
That's right.
Virtually. So let us know. Yeah. That was a great story, Ashley. Thank you. If you have any story ideas or any thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, do you have some absinthe that you're willing to sit on your porch and like let people have some? Let us know from a socially distant stance. But yeah, so you can find us on Instagram and Facebook, Big Easy Spirits. We're at BigEasySpiritsPodcast.com. And you can email us whatever you want to tell us. Tell us how much you love us. If we suck, don't tell us that. but you can email us at BigEasySpirits@gmail.com.
Cheers.
And on that note, cheers.
Cheers.